So, Rabbis, continuing from our discussion on Wednesday, we interrupted yesterday to discuss the halacha of basar v'chalav, about if you eat small amount of chicken, thinking it was fish. We've dealt with that, and you are fleishik. Now, we're going back to our discussion about the hakvoda of not using certain names as children's names at a bris. And this was the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, and relates to the names Shmuel, Yehuda, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Of course, we know that we do use all these names. So the first thing he says here is, it sounds very strange. Why did he pick on these names, that these are particular names that you mustn't give to boys? And the first thing is, as we said yesterday, that's where we finish, that the Shurik Nesagdola says that this was only a private thing that he introduced to his children and to his descendants, that they shouldn't use the name Shmuel Yehuda, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Why? Well, the name Shmuel Yehuda Avram Yitzchak Yaakov.
Shmuel
or Yehuda, or Avram or Yitzchak or Yaakov.
No one could be named after him.
Oh. That's the second thing we're going to say. So the first one is the Shurik Nesagdola says, Ulai nama tzavozu lezara, lezara bihuda chosid bilvat, replace sibo yodu aloi. He was a chosid, and he knew certain things, heavenly things that we don't understand. And maybe he had some reason why he was makbid, that his family, the males in his family, should not be named with those particular names. Again, Shmuel, Yehuda, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Oh, that's the next point he brings. That the Yavetz writes in the Sefer Migdal Oiz, "Bishum sheshemoy shel bal hatzavo Yehuda, v'shem ovi v'shmuel." So his name was Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Hechosit. So we know that obviously his name was Rabbi Yehuda, and his father's name was Shmuel, and he had some hakpoda shel v'hoyori. He was worried that people who are named after him would not survive very long. Why? I don't know. It says, his descendants will want Dafka, having had such an illustrious ancestor as Rabbi Huda Chosid, they would Dafka want to use his name. As a covert, he says, he says there seems to be some sort of reason why he didn't want. We'll delve into it a little bit more on Sunday, but he had this akpoda, according to the Yavetz, in B'nai Mishpachtoi, that they should not be named after him, lest they live a very short lifespan.
If it's only for his own family,
yeah. He didn't write that. In the Tzava of Rabbi Nechosid, he never said it was addressed to his family only. We know that. There are probably thousands of people, girls who've got the colours, who've got the same name as their mother-in-law.
Vice versa.
Charlie, watch this space. There's more to come. Start today, the Torahway, Northwest London. Friday, base Cheshvan, 24th of October. Rabbi Shmuel Lin, Shlita, Parshati. This week's Torah is sponsored non-affiliate with Simon Tanasun of Tzipi Itzkovitz, Shatichia, and Shimi Simons, Nereyoy. The pastor took place on Wednesday. Yit Rotz and Shimon Abayas, Neman, B'Yisrael, Hashem, B'Lisilo. Olil Nishmas, Rav Yosef Dov, Ben Rav Shimon, Michal, Tzipi Itzkovitz, Shron Rochel, our founder and organizer of Torah Way, Golders Green.
Okay, good morning. Thank you for having me. Wonderful to be here. My name is Shmuel Lin. I, as you can hear already, I'm not from this part of the world. I live in Philadelphia. I work in New York City. I'm Isaac in Kiryat Rechaikim. I have a moisid called Olami Manhattan that I run, part of the greater Olami global network in Kiryat Rechaikim for universities and young Jews, young professional Jews around the world. But I had the great schus of marrying into this country and learning in the Haggis Kotel for a few years, 27 years ago. So I feel very familiar to be here, Baruch Hashem. So it's lovely to be back. It's always lovely to come back. So being as it's a Parshas Noach, it's a Parshas Shir. So for me, it's very personal because I'm in the business of Kiryat Rechaikim, of looking at Klal Yisrael as a whole, and trying to bring them back to Avinu Shemayim. And Noach was also a Makarev. Most of them might have been doing this for over 20 years, Noach was also a Makarev for 120 years. He's building a teva in the middle of, you know, middle of the Merkaz Ha'ir, let's call it, and he was there very publicly. People would come to him, of course, ask him, what are you doing? And he'd have to say this, because it's coming a Mabul. And we're going to have to recognize it as a Borei Olam, and we have to get with the program. And so he was a Makarev for 120 years. So he's still very close to the parasha of what it means to stand outside and try and bring Yidden back to a Karev of the Borei Olam. Befrat, I feel that what we do, what we build moistis for this, is we're building tevas. We're building a teva. That's what it is in New York City. And believe me, as I'll share with you maybe in a few minutes, it feels like a Mabul in New York for sure right now, and with everything that goes on in the world, Boif and Chloe and Befrat, with what goes on there in New York City, it definitely feels like a Mabul, and it feels like if you have a Mokum Torah there, and you're being in your Marbitz Torah, that for sure that's the Kilu Ateva that we're building, Bizman Azeh, and they come, the Kol HaBehemos HaSodeh, and the Chayas HaSodeh, and they're all coming in, and so too, Bez Hashem, all the Tinogish and Nishbo, also coming into the teva that we build. So there's a medrash. Let's learn a medrash together, because it's a medrash plia, insofar as it's not really understood so much what is doing here. Why is this medrash here in Parshas Noach? And maybe Erev Shabbos is something for us to think about by the Shabbos table. What's to have a conversation of why did Chazal feel this medrash belonged here in Parshas Noach? It's a medrash Tanchuma, and I see quoted here on the bottom already, the Sefer Ois Emes, it says it doesn't belong Bechlal here, what's it doing? And then there's Mokum to say what we want, to think a little bit about what's the message here. Ken Zayin, that it's for us in the Ikvas of the Mashiach to understand, you know, a little bit more clearly why it is that Chazal put this message here by Parshas Noach. So I will read a little bit, it's not a long medrash, but it's not a short medrash. So we'll read a little bit of it together, we'll learn a bit together, and then maybe try and understand it a bit more. Ela told us, Noach, Noach. We understand, these are the toldos. Noach, Noach, Shtzadik, right, where the toldos is. Maisim Toivim, we know the Rashi, we know the Chazals. Here's the Lush of the Medrash. The Medrash starts. It's Baruch Hashem Hashem Melech Malchei Amlochim Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a Shevach to the Borei Olam. Shebochem Yisrael Meshivim Umois. In a site, in a time right now where we feel that we're amongst the Shivim Umois Olam, that we certainly feel the Lachatz. Shebochem Yisrael Meshivim Umois. It's a Shevach to Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's Bochem Yisrael Meshivim Umois. Kodesh Kodesh Chichelach Hashem Amoy Yaakov Yichevon Achlosli. Like we just read, it's a chelak Hashem Amoy, the chelak of Hashem is his people. Yaakov Chevon Achsoi, and Yaakov is the measurement of his inheritance. By the way, interesting idea. We know it's a chelak of Hashem. Yaakov's where the chelak of Hashem is Amoy, and Yaakov is Ish Cholak. What's the kesher? What's the connection between a chelak and Cholak? Something to think about as well. But with a chelak of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, v'nosan lanu was a Torah shebiksav, v'shumim beremes v'funoyes v'sumoyes, v'perushim b'Torah shebal peh. And he gave us a Torah kedosha with lots of mysteries, hidden meanings, and to explain them with the Torah shebal peh. That's a shevach Hashem. He chose us and he gave us a Torah shebiksav. But be'ikah the Torah shebal peh. That's megala, the giloy of Yisrael. And he was megala all those tsunois, all the hidden mysteries and everything. He gave it all to us. The Klai Yisrael, it's a Shevach to Hashem. That's how the Medrash starts. Is the klolos, and the pratios. And the Medrash continues, Toshibal Peh is long and it's great and sweet. Yes, you're not going to find it in the Eretz Chaim, the land of the living. What does it mean? Keep Eretz Amazing to Motze. It's not the land of the living, so it's the land of the Amazing. You won't find Torah Shabbat Peh by people who are looking for Tanug and Oilam Hazeh, Taiva, a Kavod, the Gedula of Oilam Hazeh. It's not going to be by them. We know it's hard. A little bit of bread, a little bit of water you have to drink. You have to work hard for Torah Shabbat Peh. Because the only bris we have with Hashem that He made with us is because of Torah Shabbat Peh. That means to work hard for Torah Shabbat Peh. The Torah Shabbat B'Ksav, let's say, comes easy, but Torah Shabbat Peh, we have to shvitz, we have to work hard. And that's the bris. And it's a Shevach Tashem, and he's Bochar Ban Mikol Amim, and he gave us the Torah, but what's meant, it means the Torah Shabbat Peh. Shinema Alpi HaDvorim Ha'ela Karazi Yitzchob Bris, V'Yas Yisrael. It says that with Yitzchob and Moshe Rabbeinu, and the bris Eretz Yisrael. And the Farshim over here say that that's Torah Shabbat Peh, the Moshe Rabbeinu. To think, may a bris with Moshe Rabbeinu and Klai Yisrael, Rav Chachmin Zichron L'Rocha, like Kazak Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Torah, Lamad Advarim Eli. Didn't say Hashem didn't write the Torah on behalf of the words, Loi Ba'avur, or on account of the words, Velo Beglal Advarim, because on for the words of the Torah, Ela Alpi Advarim, the Loshen Alpi Advarim, Torah Shabbat Peh. He wrote it, the Torah, Be'etzem for the perish of the Torah, Torah Shabbat Peh, Zuhi Torah Shabbat Peh. It's hard to learn, it's like the darkness. And the Medrash goes on and it goes on and continues with the Maila of Torah Shabbat Peh, the Shverkai, the difficulties of Torah Shabbat Peh, the Maila of Torah Shabbat Peh. And then the Medrash will continue and go all the way down through the Golas as well. It's not really hard. Then before we get to the Golas, it brings, like keeping yourselves a Torah, we know that we didn't actually makabel the Torah, Shabbat Peh, the Torah kula, until Hashem held the mountain overhead like a har kigigas on Shabbos. We stood tachtes ahor, but it really means that the har was above us. Hashem says to us, if you accept the Torah mutav, im lav sham teik vurasach. If not, you'll be buried there. He wasn't holding the mountain overhead for Torah Shabbat. We said now seven nishma already. We said now shein bo yigiyah v'tzar he ma'at. But the problem is, we said now seven nishma something which is easy. L'chayr it's easy Torah Shabbat. And Tosfos over there says the eish gadol is going to come. Who says an eish gadol could mean either the shverkeit of Torah, the difficulty of Torah? We accepted the Torah in America. There's something called in folklore, maybe having over here, the shotgun wedding. We came to the chuppah, and the shver was there forcing us to the chuppah. I mean, I'm here, I'm in my own volition. I said nas and nish, I'm happy to be here. He says, you don't know how it's going to get. I've got to make sure you understand that shvet is not going to be so simple. Tzai mitzad the Torah Shabbat Peh, and now the medrash is going to go, and this is where we maybe are starting to think a bit of how it applies, but the medrash will start taking us into the gullus. And the Eish of Gadol is going to come, and it's going to be hard. Not that we say Shres is on the Yid, that's not the right way, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to hold on, it's going to stay connected. So this is it. So that for that way, it'd be Kofaleim HaKigigas. So I said, I'm happy that you're here, Nasa Venishma, but it could be that it's going to come a time where it's going to be difficult. And we have to understand Simon Tzad, the learning of what Torah Shabbat Peh really is, and how hard it is, and how Klaius will goes into Gullus. The Medrash continues bringing us to the Gullus, the Yoimim Yegab, Yoimim Valaylo. Time of Yom, a time of Choshech also, and into the Golos. The Medrash is going to end, and I think that for us, maybe this is where we take off thinking about what it means that this Medrash could be Shayach, the Parshas Noach, right? But Ubal Bubble, we've got all the way to Bubble. V'sham to not say sham yigalech Hashem mikafo evayich, from Bubble all the way there in the heart of Golos. Golas Bavel, Hashem is going to pull us out to be and bring a geula from there. Lamedcho shemisham aschelas geula misham ol Yerushalayim. We have to go through the Choshech, and we have to go there first. And misham, we're going to come back from that golas, from the golas that really be'etzim, that's a literal golas there, our figurative golas, the nimshel, right, is us, and the golas we live in. Come back from the golas of Torah Shabbat Peh, which we have to sweat over. The golas, Simon, the shutfus of the Torah Shabbat Peh that we have, that we hold on to. Ki hem chayenu yorchemenu. It's chayim machazikim bo, this Torah Shabbat Peh that we have. And tzad the shverkeit, the choshech of the golas. Ba'olam moshim b'har tziyoin. Ba'yuso shava ha'isa l'shem b'lucho v'chein hi rotzoin. That's how the medrash ends. Amen. So it's a medrash plea. What's this medrash doing here, Pashas Noyach? That's the shah. That's something that we all can think about, of how it's meant to inspire us. I have some of my own ideas, but I've seen brought down from a few of the meforshim over here that could be that Noyach was Boris Atzmoy. He created himself. Eil Toydus Noyach. Noyach was his eigenatold. He was his own. We have to build ourselves. We have to create ourselves also. And after 120 years, we have to bring up what Baruch Hashem gave us back to the Bara Olam. This is what I did with the matana you gave me. I made myself. That could be a key of volume. Eil Toydus Noyach. Noyach. He's the Tol of Noyach. Also, Chassam Sofer, I believe, says that Noyach had the schus to live to see Avraham Avinu until he was nun ches years old. As a siman to say, the Eidu told us Noyach that you were able to produce an Avraham Avinu, right? That the mysterious nefesh and all the tirdas and everything, the malbul, the churban of the world, but he was able to hold on, of course, and from that came an Avraham Avinu. So he was able to see nun ches years, Noyach years of Avraham Avinu. But could be there's a reason why it's here, because at the beginning, that's Perek Gimel of the Medrash in Parshas Noyach. But the Parshas Noyach in Tanchuma starts asking the question that we all ask about Eilu Toldos Noyach, where the Toldos is Maisim Toivim. But first, really, the Medrash says there's a step before that, before we get to the Maisim Toivim, it says, in Perek Beis of the Medrash. It says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, Mishah Sha'odim Stalik Ben Oilam, Bolobat Shulik, starts before. Eilu Toldos Noyach, Kach Posach V'Tanchumo, Barab V'Omar Pri Tzadik Eitz Chayim, V'Lekeach Nefoshes Chochem. Okay, it's a Posach in Mishlei. Pri Tzadik, the Peirus of a Tzadik, is Eitz Chayim, the Eitz Chayim Torah. V'Lekeach Nefoshes Chochem, the wise, the Chochem will be able to be Lokeach Nefoshes. Okay, be able to grab Nefoshes and bring them in. Omer of Yehuda Ali, Mishah Shahadim Stalik, Ben Oilem, Ben Bonim. Chas Hashalom, a person leaves the world without Bonim, who Meitzah Boiche, cries from pain. Vam Lokodesh Bochu, Lamata Boiche, why are you crying? Mit Nesha, Lo Yamadato, Pri Boilem Hazeh. You didn't have Pri Yodim Hazeh, Yeshach, Yeshach, Pri Yofim, Ben Bonim. There's a greater Pri Yata, even more than children, Vam Lokodesh Bochu, Ben Nesha Oilem. What pre do I have? Amalek Kodesh Baruch Hu Atayra. She kosed bo pre tzadik eitz chayim. That's it. And then he starts and says, V'chein hu omar, ilu told us Noyach each tzadik tomim. Noyach was a tzadik. He had Toyra, but he had tzadik. Maisim toivim. Kustav Kodesh Baruch Hu Oysa Da'achroim B'schus Rishonim, etc. That's it. Could be that that's maybe an answer, that the whole Tanchuma starts with pre tzadik eitz chayim. And then Shtelz brings Noach, that Noach was the Ish Tzadik, Tom and the Doroi. He was a Tzadik, so he had the Torah also. He learned Torah, he brought in the Behemoth Torahs. So Chazal say that you see that Noach was learning Torah. Okay, and then Vechein Maisim Toivim. Torah and Maisim Toivim. He had Torah in one hand, Maisim Toivim in the other. Could be that's the reason. So then the Medrash continues to tell us more about Maisim Toivim. It's more about the Torah Shabbat. But it could be Lenny's Daiti that there are other ways to enjoy such a medrash, to learn out. The medrash itself is important, right? To understand the medrash, to understand what the ikur tafkid, our tafkid is in Torah Shabbat Peh. But it could be that we're in a time right now where when the medrash takes us into the gullus, most people I think focus at the beginning of the medrash, what's it doing here? Why are we learning about kafalei maharik yigis? now in Parshas Toldos, in Parshas Noach, but it could be that the whole Medrash is a story. It's a story about Klai Yisrael and Golas. It's a story about us going into the Choshech and what we hold on to in our own Teva that we build. We know the Chazal that teach us at the beginning, the kids come home and the Teva, you know, the Teva, the Masim Toivim, but a Teva, first of all, the Teva we know is an interessante Lashon, interesting language, Teva. Teva means a word. That's what it also means. The Teva is a word. See, the Baal Shem Tov says, Teva's Torah, Teva's Tefillah, boil a Teva, come into the Teva, you come in with the Teva, an Ark, a Teva of Torah, Teva Tefillah, the words of Torah, the words of Tefillah. These are our Tevas, the Bate Knesses, Bate Midrashis, are also a Teva that we in that save us from a Mabul. But we know we go a step deeper, that the Midah, the measurements of the Teva, it was 300 by 50 by 30, and we know that's the gematria of Lashon, right? A shin and 350 lamed shin and nun, 350 and 30. It's Lashon. So there's something about the teva, the words, something about the language that we have, the Lashon that we have, that the teva represents to us. And it's not just stam that how we speak in our words, whether it's Lashon Hara, words of Torah and Tefillah, but the words that we have are the teva that's matzil klai Yisrael from a mabul. The word from mabul is the bull. Which, even though we're in Mar Cheshvan, right? We're in Mar Cheshvan, it's in Malachim, it says it's Zerach Bul. Bul means rain. Where there, Ma Bul means the rain. But Bul means Bilbul, that things are worn down, eroded. They don't have definition. Or even worse than that, it's Bilbul, it's Bovel, right? Migdal Bovel. That we're in a place where words don't have any definition, where nothing has any tzura, no form, no shape. And I don't think it's a chiddush to anyone to know that now, we live in the world with what technology is and how information is passed to the world, and we are on the receiving end of a mabul of sinna mitzad many of the umos ha'olam, and the words that are used and the way that the weaponry of being mabalbal the words, of eroding the words, of the sheker and the velt, is very dangerous. A dangerous place to be. So what are the lessons that we can learn from this, and how do we bring this out in ourselves? That the being matzul klai Yisrael from the choshech, from the mabul, is to come into a teva. I was sitting in New York City the other night teaching a few hundred young Jews that come in, they come from work, and they're suffering greatly out there in the world, especially in New York City. We have our own problems right now with elections that are coming up, and difficulties about what it means to be a Yid, and the fact that I was born in New York City, that we're handling our safety. I know that's not something that's new to Europeans, but certainly to Americans, this is something that's very, very new to us. And we're handling our safety in America and our security, things we may have certainly took for granted up until now. And to sit in a room with a few hundred young Jews who are working in their lives, and they're not raised in Torah mitzvahs. And they're there and talking, what can we take from this? The language that we use, sure, we can learn Hilchos Lashon Hara, and we can work on our language, but the Tevas, as the Baal Shem says, the Tevas, the words, the Teva itself of Torah and Tefillah, right, in a world where the weapon that's used against us is a weapon of Sheker, of words that are turned on themselves, that we have, we call a Lashon, that we have the Torah Kedosh, Lashon HaKedosh, that we have words that are words, Sai Mitzad Torah, Tefillah, the words Torah Shebal Peh, the things that come out of our mouth, really it's the Hatzalah of Klai Yisrael. We take on ourselves to say the right things to people, to be careful what comes out of our mouth not just a Shmira, as a Tikkun. L'chora, that's one thing we can get from this. The Haftarah that we're going to read, which we've read in other forms, famous Haftarahs, Roni Akara Lo Yolodo, and Aniyas Sa'ara Lo Nuchama. These are Haftarahs that we all know, but it brings because there's a Haftarah, Ki Mei Noyach Zlois Liyashen Nishbati Ma'avu Mei Noyach Oida Lo Oretz Ki Nishbati Mikretzef Alayach M'Gaboch, that Hashem's made a Mabul. And he promised that the Mei Noyach are not going to come back on us again. But in there we see, you know, we have a long history, and we have a long history of the Golus that the Medrash is bringing us into, starting with Torah Shebal Peh and bringing us into the Golas from which Et Hashem, Hey Rabbi Meinu, will come out of Peh V'Chavoy V'Tiferes. But the Medrash, the Haftorah, the Navi, tries to help us understand that even though sometimes it seems that it's a never-ending choshech, but it's a blink of an eye. Blink of an eye, berega katan azavti. Only for a small moment Hashem says that I leave you. Barachamim gedoylim akabzeich. But I'm going to bring you back with a tremendous rachamim. Great, far, far greater than the choshech, than the gullus, and the difficulties that we have. Sadin say the churban of 80 years ago, sadin, or mitzad Muhammad that we're in now, and the situation now, it's a blink of an eye. B'shetzef ketzef histarti ponai. Rega mimeich. It's only for a brief moment that I turn my face from you. U'b'chesed oylam rechamtich. But a great chesed will come with rachamim amar goylich Hashem, says the goyel of Hashem. I saw a story this last night, I'll finish with this, that I'm sure it will be very, very, very public soon. It's amazing. We know that on you're hearing, if we're listening to the world out there, our world, the world of Klaius, or the full world, and it's the Hebrew was said on the news stations that aren't necessarily so friendly to the Olam HaTorah, to the Chesh Olam. It said a trend hachi cham bo'olam lishmo Shabbat Akshav, the hottest trend, fad that's out there now amongst secular Israelis is to keep Shabbat. That's fact. That's the trend. Why? Because people are coming out of the tunnels, and they're coming out, and they speak like the Bnei Yeshiva, the Bore Olam, the Mishabeach, the Bore Olam is people that went in knowing nothing, and they're coming out, and they found Torah. They found Torah. One of them came out, and they found a Chumash there. He didn't know anything about Chumash. He read the entire Chumash over 20 times. Knows the Baal Peh. He comes out. But the story last night is a Segev Kalfon from. From Dimona. He said he didn't know the story of Yosef and Yaakov. Didn't know the story of Bechal. You've heard this already? You said this came out? Didn't even know. If you asked him what happened to Yosef, I don't know. What, Yaakov, you know? No clues. An Israeli boy. No, doesn't know the story of Bechal. Our story, nothing. And he came out. His father's down there. His father went to Rav Be'eri, known as the Yanuka. Yanuka, because at a young age, he knew everything we're talking about. Torish Miksav, Torish Rabbe, Kola, Torah Kula. He went there for brachas and brachas and brachas, and the Yanuka told the father, learn Parshas Vayeshev, that Yosef is going to come out of the boar, he's going to come out, and he's going to come back to Yaakov, you know, your son's going to learn another segula. And it's telling the story live, and all of a sudden, the young boy just came out of the tunnels for 2 years in Gaza, he goes white. He says, Imala, Imala, what? He says, my captors showed me the story when I was down there. They showed me the story in Arabic, the way that they learned the story. They also learned the story. The story of Yosef and Yaakov. The one thing I saw. I didn't know what the story of Yosef and Yaakov was. And my captors taught it to me in Arabic from them. And he said, and it gave me chizuk, and that's what got me. I said, you can't believe it. The father's like, how can you not tell me? He says, why did I didn't tell you. I didn't, until the Rav said it, I didn't chop. But understand something, what it means to be ma'ayin in a parasha. Not just to learn the Torah, but that this is the Sipur of Klai Yisrael, this is our story, this is the Yaakov, Yosef, the reunion, right, that's came back, that we're seeing with our own eyes, and Klai Yisrael's coming out of the tunnels, coming out of the gullus. We feel it, there's a, it's only B'shetzef Ketzef, it's only maybe just a blink of an eye, that we're in the Choshech, but the Rachamim Gedolim, the incredible Chesed that the Rabbi Hashem does for us, that's hard to see, but will do for us, that will be open, clear, le'enei akol, met Hashem. That's what we should be zoicha to see that. Heiro Yomenu, and maybe this is a great story of a mabul. Hashem looked at the world and it wasn't zoicha. Looked at the world, it wasn't zoicha, but it'll be zoicha because of the toil and of the ava that comes from limud Torah, the avos Torah, befrat the Torah shmiksav v'chlal, befrat the Torah shmalpeh, that we learn side mitzad that, and the gullus that we hold on. Hashem sees how strong we are with our Torah and how tightly we hold on to it through all the doors in Golas Metzim Shem. We should see that Metzim Shalayim together. Okay. Great. Okay.
Okay, so I saw Bal HaTirim this week. Just very. I saw a Bal HaTurim this week. And it was a very easy one, but nice one to repeat, because all the children come home and you ask them who was in the Teva, and they explain to you that in the Teva they were Neuer and his wife, Mrs. Neuer, and they had children, but one bloke hitched a ride there. When he saw the Teva passing, the children say, who was it? The giant. Who was the giant? Oik Melech Abushon. How did he hitch on? Well, everybody's worried about how he got a hot jacuzzi on top, and how it was, must have been an interesting trip for a year. Got good wash, that's for sure. But it says Vayeshue Ach Noach. Noach was left, so to speak, when the world went up. In the, how did he say? He floated his company to in order to avoid going into liquidation. And now, in view of that, this Oig Melech Abushon hitched a ride. Ach, when it says Ach, you know, it says Ach Sumech, it's always a meal. So, Yeshua Ach Noach, Ach Noach is Begematria 79. If you work it out. And remarkably, Oig is also Begematria 79. So you've got the meal. There was one more bloke on top who was hitching a ride. This is Tam. Remise from the Heilige Bal HaTirim, but I'd like to follow through something, because most people never reach the end of the Seder, and the end of the Seder is fascinating, especially with the intoxication of Noach. And the Meshech Chochma mentions a remarkable distinction and contrast between Moshe Rabbeinu and Noach. Moshe Rabbeinu starts his career as an Ish Mitzri, Hitziluni, an Egyptian man. He completes his career in Parshas V'zois HaBrucho, and the Rebbein Shulam gives him the accolade of V'zois HaBrucho Asher Berach Moshe Ish Huelekim. So he starts off as the Egyptian prince, finishes off as a man of godly stature. Noach starts his career as Eiletotus Nechnach Ish Tzadik Tumim, righteous man and complete man, trusting man, finishes his career as Ishu Adumu, a man of the earth. So the Meshech Chochma, Moiridik insight. Many people believe that by being how to say, insular, and looking after your own rochniestike and spiritual achievements, that's the way to steig. And everybody else, no, tunish mesich daza, get on with it, however, it's taka true, he says. But Moshe Rabbeinu was one of those people who started off his career by risking his life for others. The very beginning was how he put his life on the line to save another Yid who was being hit and beaten, etc., etc. Over and over, Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Nefesh. So, although he was started off as a plain Ish Mitzri, but he gave his life for the Klal, finished off as Ish Huelekim. Says the Meshech Chochma, in contrast, Noach was the Tzaddik in Pelz. Harim Genemen, he was warm, he kept himself closeted, warm, insulated, and away from the rest of the generation. And if you look at it in reflection, he finished his life as Ishu Adumu. So it didn't necessarily stand him in the best of stead to look after his own rochnistike achievements purely. Although, Lamasa is, the Torah says that he spent 120 years trying to build the Teva to be Makarov other people. He was regretfully not successful. There doesn't seem to be one single Bal Tshuva, which the people say about that, that If you don't believe in it yourself, it's unlikely that you are going to achieve great results in the Kiruv world. But since our earlier speaker mentioned a thought of his own, I'll also be bold enough to share with you a thought of my own, which in the same subject as the intoxication of Noach at the end of the Seder. There aren't too many stories of drunkenness in the Torah. Not many. But the next one that comes up is also in Parshas Bereishis. And that's with the Shvutim. And there it says that when Yosef, who was still alias, the Viceroy, had them all around the table and he gave different Khalifois, Smulois to Binyamin, and Binyamin was the beneficiary of more than the rest of them. Then it says there that the Shvutim Vayishtu Vayishkeru Imoy. They drank, they consumed, and they became intoxicated. Rashi mentions them, from the day that they actually sold him, Loishosu, they never drank. But now they drank. So Mufarshim say that there was a good reason for that. The reason for that was because they had a problem of midas hakino, consumed with jealousy, and that's why the sale of Yosef started to change the sequence of history of Klal Yisrael. At this point where they saw that the brother and the other child of Ruchel Imenu was subject and was enjoying preferential treatment much more than all the other brothers and getting Chamesh Smulois, they noticed that somehow their element of kinna was not aroused and they had conquered this middah. They had managed to overcome it. And it didn't move them at all, nothing. They watched as the abundance of lavish gifts were being splashed on Binyamin, and they realized, okay, this is a time to celebrate. We have now realized that the middle of kinna has been abolished. Vayishtu vayishkru imoy. They have drunk and they became intoxicated. They allowed themselves to be carried away with the alcohol. By Noach is an interesting contrast, because Noach started off his career by changing the course of the world to Olam Chesed Yibune, in as much that he spent a whole year in a teva, day and night, giving of himself, selflessly, completely focused on one thing, giving to animals who can't even show appreciation, animals who are ingrates. All they do is they kick you when you come a little bit late, like the famous lion. And all in all, it's a thankless job. Speak to the guys in Regent's Park, they'll tell you. And so therefore, now that he'd gone through this period of his life where he was giving and giving and giving in order to create this Olam Chesed Yibune, the contrast of that was having ended the mabul, and then said, you know, it's time for a drink. We can celebrate now. I'd like to have the taste of wine, the taste of grapes, that feeling of just sitting back and relaxing, which is the complete opposite. Now I'm looking after me. And therefore, the result was that the shikras of Lot led him to become debased, and he became an ishu adomo. So you've got the contrast of the Shifter Kah, who overcame a middah and finally realized this was a reason to celebrate, having broken something and changed something within themselves to the extent that they were no longer envious of Binyamin, to the Noach Ishu Adomo, who actually was the precursor to somebody who had given of himself so selflessly for 1 year and then eventually relaxed with a glass of wine for himself. And just to finish, I'll just say one of the verses which I love. I don't know if I've said it here before, but I probably have, which is the story with the raven. I'll make it succinct. The raven is a moildike master, because there was in Yeshivas Eish HaTorah, I think it was, there was, I think it was Rav Weinberg who went around from standard to standard to see how the students are progressing and how they're doing on Thursday night. He came across all different types of Talmidim, and one of them was learning Chumash. And he says to him, "Hey, Jake, how's it going?" He says, "What are you learning?" He says, "Well, I'm learning the Parsha, beginning of the winter. What is it, Noach? What are you up to?" He says, "Well, Rabbi, you want to know the truth? I'm up to the story with the raven." And Rashi says that Mrs. Raven stayed behind in the Tevor, and Mr. Raven went for an in-flight experience. He looked back, and he was exceedingly jealous of Noach, and he thought that Noach is only sending him away so that he can have an affair with my wife and with Mrs. Raven. Now, Rabbi, forgive me, it's patently ridiculous. Do you really expect me to buy that one? And he picked up his eyes to heaven and he thought, "Bein Shalom, put the right words into my mouth, because the kash is the chapon bekasha." And he said to him as follows, I'll give you three examples straight out, and that will clarify for you. The first one is a soldier. The soldier sent across by a general, and he says to him, "Go into enemy territory. Check out to see what is the mood of the enemy, and maybe you can find the Achilles tendon to go in." The soldier thinks to himself, there's no question about it, that he's being sent into this particular mission because the general hates his guts. The general knew he's competitive because he's highly intelligent and he wants to get him killed. That's why he's sending me into such a dangerous mission. The flip side of that would be, no, he's not doing it for that reason, but the reason he's sending me into enemy territory is because I'm the most astute, I'm the cleverest, the fastest, and the most able to find out the necessary information. Example B. A man goes into a chasana. He sees two people there speaking in the foyer by the smorgasbord. There they are, as soon as they see him come in, and they stop talking. And he says, "Ha, you know why they stop talking? Because they're talking about me. And they saw me coming, so they stopped." Possibility. Example three. A woman is in a supermarket and she's pushing the trolley. She comes up to another lady. She says, "Oh, hello, good morning, Mrs. Kranzenbaum. How are you?" "I'm fine." Why is she so curt? Why is she so short with me? Why doesn't she recognize that, you know, we're friends after all. Be nice, be warm, be friendly. He says, "I'll tell you. Because Mrs. Kranzenbaum just got fired from her job. She's been working in a company for 3 years and she doesn't know where she's going to put bread on her table next week because she hasn't got a job. So she's not really thinking about you at this moment of time. She's much more concerned about what's going on in her life and that maybe she might not have panusa in the week to come. The bloke in the wedding, he's very, very sure that they're speaking about nobody else except him. And same thing with the first example of the soldier. There's one common denominator between the three of them. And that is that all three are paranoid. They are obsessed with themselves. And they are convinced that everybody else is also thinking about themselves in the same way that they are. In Memaila, the soldier was sure that, of course, if he thinks along those lines that he's going to get killed, it's because he's an egotistical person. And the woman who is in the supermarket for sure thinks, why doesn't she greet me? Because she's a nasty woman and she has one or two other things on her mind. She has to worry about where she's going to bring panusa. And the guy in the wedding is also sure that what else could they be talking about in the world except me? And there lies the common thread. Turns around Rabbi Weinberg to his Talmud and he says to him, the Torah is not a place to teach about zoological psychology. We're not talking about the nature of ravens. We're not speaking about the message. The message here is, what do we learn from the raven? And the tenets to that is that it is patently ridiculous, just as you said. But when you are one of those three who are so egotistical that you carry on marital relations in the Tevor, just like Chom and the Kelev and the Oirev, then you think along those lines, that there's nothing else in the world except for me, because he is paranoid, he is egotistical, he is convinced that everything turns around him. And Memaida, the Torah is saying to us This is what happens when you degenerate into a mindset like that. And then all you do is think about yourself. Then you look like the raven who is convinced that when Noach sends him to do a mission, that the only reason he's doing so is because he wants to associate with Mrs. Raven. Chaps.
Thank you.